Well, if you haven't been here for a while, we're in the middle of our series called Pace. And if you've missed the last few, you can go to our website and download those messages. Also, if you're in a small group, you can go to our website and we have what's called Digging Deeper Questions. And you can download those and you can talk about them with your friends or with the family or with your kids, because we all need others to help hold us accountable to sustaining healthy pace in life. Now, if you weren't here, just a real quick catch up. We've been talking about this concept of pace, and really having a healthy pace in life requires us to create some space or distance between kind of our current pace and our limits in any area of our lives. Because we know if we don't create some space in those areas, regardless of how hard we're charging or how fast we're spending or how crazy our schedules are, if we don't have space between our current pace and our limits, we're going to continue to live out of control lives. And so that's what we're going to continue to consider as we continue in our series. So to start things off, I just want you to use your imagination, okay? You guys ready? Your imagination. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine what your life would be like if you had perfect confidence that there really is a God. And that this God knows your name personally. He actually knows how many hairs are on your head, whether it's few or lots. We're all different. And it's a God who's going to walk beside you. He will never leave you, never forsake you. And he will be there with you, around you, whatever circumstance you face in life. Imagine if you had a trust in your Heavenly Father like that. That no matter what happened, you just trusted God. You know, things maybe were getting worse and worse in your life, whatever was happening. But you know what? You said, God knows what is going on. God has a plan for my life. I'm just going to put one foot in front of the other. And I'm just going to do the next right thing and just trust in God. And you are totally at peace. Imagine if you had no fear, no anxiety, no fear about your future or your finances. Wouldn't that be incredible? Imagine if that was your experience in life. Now, I start that way because of this. That is where God wants to take you. That is where God wants to take me. That the story of Scripture is God trying to build into us this perfect trust in him. Because in the very beginning, the break with God and humankind happened around this issue of trust. That in the beginning, humans said, God, you're withholding something good from us. You can't be trusted. God, I don't think you know what's best for me. You can't be trusted. God, I think you have a different agenda than what you've told me. You can't be trusted. And the relationship break between God and humankind happened around this issue of trust. And God has been reworking this trust thing ever since. Because his desire is to draw us into a relationship that is built around this trust in our Heavenly Father. Because imagine if you woke up every day with that kind of confidence. I mean, everything about our lives, our anxiety, our budgets, our finances, our school, our work, everything would be impacted if we woke up with that kind of confidence in God. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Coming to this place, do we truly trust our Heavenly Father? So, how many of you, just a little confession, how many of you have a junk drawer in your house? You know that drawer that's just your dirty little secret? You know, you have everything that's crammed in there, and it's a love-hate relationship, right? You love it because you know almost everything's in there, but you hate it because you can never open it, because you go to open it and the screwdriver gets stuck up against the counter, and you got to actually get your kids who have little hands to come in and try to push it down so you can get the drawer open, right? Well, I want you to know it's okay to have drawers like that in your house that are completely filled to the limit. It's okay. But it's not okay to have a life that looks like that. Because the truth is, when it comes to our schedules and our budgets, that cramming it right up to their limits doesn't work for very long. And without ever really meaning to, in our effort to get the most out of life, oftentimes we lose control of our life. And so we cram so many things in there, there's no space. And so today I want to talk about money. Now, here's the great news. If you haven't been here in a while, I don't want anything from you. We're not launching a new capital campaign. There's not going to be a special offering. I don't want anything from you. I simply want something for you. Because when we talked about our schedules and how hurried we are and what it means to have Sabbath and trust in God in our rest, the reality is our time each day is really limited. And we have to limit what we do with our time. We talked last week about discerning what are we going to say yes to and discerning what are we going to say no to, because we have to create space in our schedules to slow down. And a couple weeks ago, Clyde talked about speed versus our soul. Now, money is similar, but it's different in this way. Our money's limited, but we don't have to limit what we do with our money. Here's why. Because whereas we can't borrow time, we can borrow money. And in borrowing money and in not being careful with the way that we manage our money, before long, financially, our worlds begin to look a little like our junk drawer at home. When everything is accounted for, man, there's no more space. And if we try to cram one more thing into our budget, the whole thing is going to fall apart. And we don't often enjoy the things that we own every single week and every single month. And as time goes on, there's more and more financial pressure. And we worry and we get anxious. And we get stressed out and we spin out of control. So today, for a few minutes, I want to talk about how to create some pace financially and what it would look like to trust God. Now, every day, our culture is telling us that if I raise my standard of living, if I live better, if I drive a better car, if I dress better, if I date better or eat better, I mean, if I everything is better, bigger, shinier, I stand in line and I upgrade my phone to the iPhone 10, you know, I'm going to stand in line all day for that. If I raise my standard of life, then I'll have a better quality of life. It's not true. In fact, many people are not enjoying the quality of their lives and they have a higher standard of living than they've ever had before. You've seen or experienced how your standard of living can go up through the years, but families or couples, they still don't get along and they argue about money and stuff all the time. And they have more stuff than they've actually ever had, but they're not enjoying it. Because there's a difference between your standard of living and quality of life. You can raise your standard of living through debt, but you raise your quality of life through discipline. And most people like debt more than discipline. Because the reality is, all of us, we live on a percentage of our income. It may be a higher percentage than we're making or a lower percentage. And many of us have allowed culture to kind of drive us to that percentage. We call it in our culture, keeping up with the Joneses. In an article in Maclean's in June, this past June, it said this: with incomes failing to keep up with inflation, the only way Canadians are finding they can keep up with the Joneses is to indulge their love of piling on debt. And increasingly, they are tapping family networks as well as the bank. And we think, man, if we just had a little bit more, you ever play that game? Man, if we just won the 649 Powerball this week, how would it change our lives? What would we do different? You know what's interesting? We all felt that. If we just had a little bit more, if we just had a little bit more. And why do we feel that way? It's because disciplining ourselves to choose a percentage to live on is hard. And instead, we allow our lifestyle to stay in sync with our income. And it's interesting, in our pre-marriage that we have the program here, we do an online assessment with all of our engaged couples. And when it comes to the budgeting assessment, almost every couple, hands down, almost every couple, they come out in the budgeting assessment with this as they're saying: I've started a budget, but I didn't stick to it. Disciplining yourself to live on a budget is hard. Now, if you were to get this right, or if you've gotten this right, your finances would look something like this on this chart, okay? That over time, your income is probably going to go up. And if you live on a percentage of that income, there would be some space in between. There would be a little bit of a margin in between your income line and your spending line. And you would think, wow, we're doing pretty good. I think we might be able to take a vacation this year. I think we actually might get our kids into college that we're hoping to. You know, things are maybe a little tough and maybe that income line drops a little bit, but as long as you create some space between there, things are going to be okay. You're going to live at a healthier pace. Because you know what happens in between that income and spending when there's space there? You get along better. You sleep better. You drive slower. You can pray and concentrate. You're more generous with your time and your finances. Now, if I were to say, okay, that's a great message. Let's just close our time in prayer. That was a great 5-minute message. I would encourage us all to try to do what we can to get there. Because life with space is better, isn't it? Now, you've maybe heard this phrase before, Less is more? Less is more? Well, former president of Uruguay, Jose Mujica, who chose to live on his wife's farm rather than the presidential digs enjoyed by his predecessors, he drove a 1973 Beatles car, and he donated 90% of his monthly income to charity every month, which was equivalent to about $12,000. And it was an act that earned him the label, the poorest president in the world. Here's a quote from him. "I'm called the poorest president, but I don't feel poor. Poor people are those who only work to try to keep an expensive lifestyle and always want more and more. This is a matter of freedom. If you don't have many possessions, then you don't need to work all your life like a slave to sustain them, and therefore you have more time for yourself." But our tendency, and I do this too, we look at that drawer and we're like, "Oh, I can cram one more thing in there." Because we allow our income to drive our spending. And it doesn't matter how much you make. If your spending tracks your income, you will still feel financial pressure. And if we're not paying attention to, we can spend and borrow our way into a place where things get upside down really quickly. And now there are all kinds of pressure and tension. And we worry, and we press, and we start to spin out of control. And there's a tension that we feel, and it's this. It's living for now or living for later. And Jesus is going to address this tension. This is how he addressed it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, picking up his teaching in verse 19. He said this in Matthew 6. And friends, this is the word of God. It says in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth," that's about living for now, "where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven," this is about later, "where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." So Jesus is saying, if you'll invest in later, if you'll invest in my kingdom, if you'll invest in eternal things rather than temporal things, heavenly things, not earthly things, you'll experience a life that can't be taken away. And then he concludes by saying this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where you spend your money, your time, your best energies, those are our treasures. Those are our treasured resources. And where we're leveraging those treasures is an indication of where our heart is. Now, do you know how you know what you're committed to? All you have to do is look at your bank account. Look at your schedule. Look at where you spend your best energies, and you'll discover where your heart is at. Now, here's why this is important. Because you and I live in a culture where every day we're being sold on happiness. You need to satisfy the desires of your happiness, and it can be satisfied right now. Our culture is selling happiness now. You can experience it right now. You don't have to wait till later. And Jesus is saying, no. This isn't going to satisfy you. You need to change your perspective from an earthly one to an eternal one. And in your heart, you need to decide, I'm going to focus on later. I'm not going to focus on now. Then he tells us how. Verse 22, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy," actually indicates if they're generous, if they're generous in giving, "your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad," referring to someone who cannot see the beauty of grace, cannot see the brightness of generosity, they're blurred by the wealth and treasures of this world, "your whole body will be full of darkness." Then he concludes, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Meaning, if we find ourselves in a situation where money is saying, "You can't, don't you dare, you don't even consider it, don't even look over there." And then on the other hand, God's going, "This is how I want you to live your life. This is how I want you to participate in what I'm doing today. This is how I want you to fund this financially. This is how I want you to be generous." If he's saying, if you find yourself in a situation like that, you're going to feel torn between your devotion to God and your devotion to stuff. And at the end of the day, you have to choose which master. You can't be for later and for now. You have to choose. And we fight against this in our society, don't we? In fact, we've denied this so much, we want to pretend like this doesn't even exist, so much that we've created a candy and we called it now and later. Because we want both. Jesus is saying, no, you can't have both. Your life is going to serve one, or it will serve the other. And the things that we're most devoted to feel the things that we get most anxious about in life. So when Jesus decided to teach on anxiety, guess what topic he decided to launch it with? Money. Interesting, right? There's a recent national survey found that 42% of Canadians rank money as their greatest stress. And it goes on to say that stress over money is driving Canadians to lose sleep, reconsider past financial decisions, argue with partners, and lie to family and friends. So Jesus comes and he begins to talk about money through this concept of anxiety. He says, therefore, now whenever you see that word, you ask the question, what is it there for, right? It's a connecting word. So he's just said, there's a war between who you're going to serve. Who's going to be the boss in your life? It says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. So he's saying, I know what you guys worry about, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Jesus is saying, don't worry. Now, if he's addressing us, it might sound a little different. You know, don't worry if you're going to be able to retire. Don't worry if your kids are going to be able to get into the right college or not. Don't worry about whether you're going to find a job that you love. Don't worry about keeping that job. Don't worry about your industry. Don't be anxious about all of this stuff. Now, this is Jesus talking, okay? So don't email me, you know, because I wouldn't say this to you. But this is Jesus. Jesus is saying, don't be anxious about your life. So what we eat and what we wear, is that not important? It's like, no. The point of his conversation is not that retirement's not important. Not that school's not important, job's not important. In fact, it's the opposite. His point is all of those things are important. And there is uncertainty related to all of those things. And in a lot of those areas, things aren't going to work out the way you thought they were going to work out. But you still don't have to be anxious about it. So Jesus says, when it comes to your life, don't be anxious. Then he asks a really big question. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So he's trying to pull us back a little bit and ask us this question. Is not your life more important than the day you retire? Is not your life more important than if your kid gets into that school that you hope for? So I'm just trying to help pull you back a little bit. And then how insensitive is this? Jesus says, hey, look at the birds of the air. What? I don't have time to look at the birds of the air. I need a job. I don't have time to consider the birds of the air. I have a visa bill due. Jesus, no offense, look at the birds of the air. Are you kidding me? And I think Jesus would look at us and like, are you finished yet? I'm trying to help. I'm not discounting the importance of all of those things. I'm just trying to get you some advice. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. So he's addressing their culture. And maybe he would say to us, they don't have RRSPs. They don't have a college education. They don't walk their kids around and hold their hands all the time and make them wear helmets and all kind of stuff so they never get hurt. I mean, look at the birds of the air. They build their nests up in a tree as high as they can. And then one day they look at their kids and they push them out of the nest. Good luck. There's a parenting model for us. They don't sow or reap. And this is important. Because if you misread this verse, you'll think Jesus is making fun of all your hard work. He's saying, hey, look, the birds of the air, they don't even really try. They don't have plans. They don't have schedules. They don't have a budget. They don't pay mortgages. They don't do any of the responsible stuff you guys are doing. I mean, you're out there trying. Birds, they're just going with the flow. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Are you not much more valuable to God than a bird? Do you think God cares more for you than he does the birds? That's why he says, do not be anxious. I'm telling you, you can face uncertainty about tomorrow. I'm telling you, you can not know where you're going to get another job and not be anxious. He's saying, don't go into denial. I understand the uncertainties of what's going to be there tomorrow, but you can have uncertainty and not be anxious all at the same time. And his point is, don't be irresponsible and it's all going to work out. That's called fatalism. He's inviting us to trust him as our Heavenly Father. He says, I want you to sow. I want you to reap. I want you to store up in barns. It means go out, fill applications, do job interviews, work hard, study hard, create a budget and stick to it. But once you've done all the things that you're doing right now, sit back and take a little bit of a sigh and say, wow, God loves me more than the birds. And look at all what I've done. I don't need to worry about tomorrow. And he goes on, he says, and which of you being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? So we get super focused on all of things in life. What about, what if? And we ask this question, you know, are we really helping ourselves? I mean, can you by worrying in this now bring certainty to your next now? Can you by worrying and being anxious today create certainty tomorrow? No. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus is saying, and settle in on this revolutionary idea. God loves me more than the birds of the sky. And if God loves me that much and I've done all I know to do, I sow and I reap and I store away in barns, if I've done all I can do in the now that I do have some control over, can God be trusted in the next now that I have no control over? And if so, I'm not going to be anxious about what's coming tomorrow. And he says in verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil, meaning they don't prepare, nor spin. They have no concept of the future. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, and now he's going to take us right to the heart of what anxiousness is all about. Will he not much more clothe you? Now here's what Jesus is getting at. He says, look, do you trust that God can and will take care of you? Because that's our issue of anxiety. Do you trust that God can and will take care of you? If God has done what he's done for nature and in nature, if God cares for, if we're more valuable than the sparrows, the blades of grass, the flowers of the field, if God really loves us and cares for us, if we're made in the image of God, can we not trust that God has our future in mind? And we can trust God with our future. Then he makes this poignant statement. O you of little faith. He says, come on, people. Look how big God is. How important are you? I mean, look at this world that he's created. God takes care of the planet. He's involved in creation. You guys have been made in his image. Why would you be anxious? Look at how well God takes care of everything else. Why would you not trust that God has your best interest in mind? Oh, you, a little faith. So here's our problem when it comes to finances. It's trust. It's trust. We don't really wake up every day trusting that God is waiting on us tomorrow. And in the middle of today, I start worrying about tomorrow. I reach out and I grab tomorrow's concerns that I can do nothing about. I drag them into today. I overload my emotions with what's happening. And Jesus tells us, your heavenly Father has got this. He's got this. He's waiting on you. Because your heavenly Father will be what you need for him to be today and tomorrow. And when you merge these two worlds, it's just going to overload you. And you're going to get so anxious. And he says, therefore, do not be anxious. Saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, they seek after all of these things. Now, that's not a term that's derogatory, that term Gentile or pagan. It basically means everybody else. He's saying, quit acting like everybody else. Quit living like everybody else. He says the Gentiles, they seek after all these things. All these things that we reach out tomorrow and try to grab and bring in today. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Now, let me ask you a question. What if you are absolutely confident that your heavenly Father knows that you need them all? Imagine that, because I think that's probably like 90% of it. Imagine you're getting ready to go to bed tonight, and you lay down on your bed, and all of a sudden you start thinking about tomorrow, next week, your finances, your job, bills, house payments, on and on. And what if in that moment, when you're thinking about all of those things, you heard God whisper to you, "I know." Okay, you might freak out for a second. But after that, you know, it's not the certainty that things are going to work out. You'd have to know the future. But what if you had this deep trust that God knew what you needed? That not only does he know that you exist, but he knows personally about your circumstances in life. And that somehow God knows what you need? Wouldn't that be amazing? And he gives us the alternative. He says, "But seek then first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will, future, be added to you." So here's what Jesus is saying. When you guys are tempted to take from tomorrow, look around and look for a way to participate in what God is doing today. That's what he's trying to help us with. In those moments when you're tempted to worry and get anxious about what tomorrow is, look for a way to participate with God in today and trust him with tomorrow. And then he says, and he applies a new label to all of our anxiety, he says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about," and just go ahead and fill in that blank, whatever you're anxious about. Jesus applies a new kind of label to it. Whatever you'd put in that blank from now on, if you're my follower, I simply want you to say the word tomorrow. Because you're not really worried about your bills. You're worried about tomorrow. You're not really worried about your job. You're worried about tomorrow. And whatever it is, you have a tendency to reach out and kind of grab and from tomorrow, next week, next month, whatever you're going through, and fill your mind and your heart. Jesus is saying, here's a tool. Whatever that is, I just want you to label that tomorrow. And then you can just sit down and say, you know what my problem is? I'm anxious about tomorrow. And Jesus told me, don't be anxious about that. It may be tuition. It's a job, paying the bills. What am I going to do about this transportation problem? But that's all tomorrow. So when it comes in and begins to distract you and you're reaching for whatever it is, just pause long enough to say, wait a minute, I'm anxious about tomorrow. And my heavenly Father has told me I do not need to be anxious, because he says, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So why take tomorrow's troubles and try to jam them in my junk drawer? Jesus says, today has enough trouble. I'll be with you tomorrow. Your heavenly Father is with you today, and he's going to wait on you tomorrow. Now, what if you believe that? What if you really believe that God knows what you need? And I mean personally, right into your life right now in this moment. Imagine the difference that would make if you knew that about God. What if you really believe God knows what you need and that God will be there when you wake up tomorrow? And he will help you set the pace for that day. So as we wrap this up, I want to give you three quick applications, because there's no way in the world a sermon's going to take away all of our anxiety on finances. A sermon's not going to change our spending, because those are habits that we've developed. It's not going to change the emotions that we feel around this topic, because we have a track record with God's seemingly unfaithfulness to us, or things not working out in certain areas of lives, or us thinking, God, why aren't you telling me the agenda of what's going on in my life? And we get to that place where we're like, I don't think I can trust God. So I just want to give us three quick applications. The first one is this week, very simple, just start your day by declaring your trust in God. So even just read this passage, Matthew 6, 19 to 34, each day this week, and just say, God, I'm going to trust you for today. Just declare, God, I'm going to trust you. And then number two, this week, look at your finances and decide what percentage you want between your income and your spending lines. And just begin to have the discussion and decide, hey, we're going to figure this out. You know, we're going to have something very specific to shoot for. We're going to try to get to that 5%, 10%, 15%, whatever it might be for you in your world right now. But just look at your finances and look at what percentage you want between those two. And number three, when you're worried about tomorrow, look for a way to participate in what God is doing today. That's how we seek first the kingdom of God. And here's what I mean by that. This week, when you begin to get anxious about something specifically, I want you to just kind of stop and have a moment and pause. And in your heart and mind, I want you to pray for someone else who's going through a difficult time. In fact, actually pray for someone that you know is going through the exact same thing that you're going through. So if you're out of a job and you start to get anxious about it, pause and pray for someone else you know that is also looking for a job. This is how you defer worry to tomorrow. But in the meantime, it helps you participate with what God is doing today. Because our anxiousness should trigger kingdom concern and cause us to invest our lives in God's kingdom. And here's his promise. You seek first my kingdom, and guess what? I will take care of and I will be there for you in all of those other things. So we need to decide, are we going to create a healthy pace when it comes to our finances? Because it's in this space that we've created where we find peace. And it's when we trust in our Heavenly Father, we find the margin to serve and to love other people financially. You see, our Heavenly Father loves us. He doesn't need anything from us. He's just saying, I want you to step back from the limits in your finances and create some space. Because in that space, I can begin to work in your heart and mind because I truly am the master of your soul. So he's inviting us to trust in him and to take a step of obedience in following in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's simple, we know. To be honest, we didn't really learn anything new. We're just reminded what many of us have just known for a long time and from this passage. And God, I know that there are people here who this is really difficult because life recently has just really kicked the legs out from underneath them. So Father, would you extend them grace to know what to do with what they've heard? And for a lot of us, Father, this is just simply a discipline issue. God, we know what to do. We know how to budget. And it's just disciplining ourselves to stick with it. So give us the courage to do the things that you're asking us to do even today. And Father, for couples who maybe are here who don't really even see eye to eye on this issue, would you give them grace to have conversations even this week that they need to have so that they can make decisions they need to make so that they can enjoy the life that you've given them and enjoy you more fully? Father, would you just bring us to a place where our finances are no longer our master and teach us to live under your gracious care? And so today, tomorrow, the next day, the rest of this week, we want to wake up and we want to declare, God, we're trusting in you. We're trusting in you. We declare our dependency upon you, and would you teach us and help us to follow in obedience what you teach us, that we might have healthy pace when it comes to our finances, that we might be able to serve our spouse better, serve our kids better, serve our neighbors better, our church better, our city and our world, because we get the privilege of partnering with you in what you're doing today and not missing out on the great work that you want to do in and through us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.